Welcome to day number 82. We are up to Perek Vav, Mishnah Dalet. Now yesterday we learned about a case of an Aris, a sharecropper who's a Kohen or a Levi, where the owner of the field is Yisrael, a regular non-Kohen or Levi Jew. Our Mishnah is now going to discuss the opposite case. Says Mishnah Dalet, Yisrael shakibel mikohen and milevi. Imagine you have a Yisrael sharecropper who's tending to the field that belongs to a Kohen or a Levi. What's the halacha? Hamaisros labailan. All of the tithes of the field go to the owner of the field. Now, generally, in a usual case, forget Kohen or Levi for a second. In a general case, the aris, the sharecropper, would take whatever is the produce that is his share of the field. Let's say, for example, the agreement was he would get 70%. So he would take his 70%, separate tithes, and give those tithes to whomever he wants, whichever Kohen and Levi he wants. And then the owner of the field would take his share, which would be 30%, separate tithes, and give those to whichever Kohen or Levi he wants. But if the owner of the field is a Kohen or Levi, says our Mishnah, he's entitled to the Trumas or Maestros of the entire field. If he's a Kohen, he's entitled to the Truma of the entire field. And if he's a Levi, he's entitled to the Maester of the entire field. So at the end of the day, he gets not only the 30% that's his share, he also gets to keep the Trumas or Maestros of that 30%, and he gets to keep the Trumas or Maestros of the 70% that belongs to the Aris. The Aris is not entitled to choose to give it to whomever he wants. It goes to the owner. Why is that true? So the first one explained that we can assume that if the owner of the field is a Kohen Levi, he only made the agreement with the Aris on this condition. He said it's advantageous to the owner of the field to say, I'm going to get not only the 30% and not only the Trumas or Maestros for my portion, but I'm going to get Trumas or Maestros for the entire field. That's why he went into the deal to begin with. That's why he's willing to give it to the sharecropper. So we assume that is the intention of the owner, and therefore it goes to him. Rabbi Ishmael Omer, now we're going to do another case. And this case is not going to focus on Trumos and Maestros, but focus on Maester Sheni. That's the halacha that you separate 10%, and the owner of that produce takes that 10% and eats it in Yerushalayim. Says the Mishnah, Rabbi Ishmael Omer, Hakartani, a villager, someone who lives outside of Yerushalayim, Shekibel Sadan Yerushalmi, who is a sharecropper for the owner of a field who is a Yerushalmi, a field in Yerushalayim. What's the halacha? Maaser Sheni Shel Yerushalmi. All of the Maaser Sheni of the field, meaning even the Maaser Sheni of the part of, let's say, the 70% of the sharecropper who lives outside of Yerushalayim, all of the Maaser Sheni goes to the owner of the field. Why? Because we assume, again, the owner of the field lives in Yerushalayim, so we assume that that would be clearly part of the deal, that since I, the owner, live in Yerushalayim, the deal that's, whatever deal we make, I'm going to get all of the Maaser Sheni. It's convenient for me. I'm going to be able to take all of the Maaser Sheni of the whole field. It's an extra 10% of whatever the are. It's a great deal, right? I get to keep it and eat it in Yerushalayim. And we assume, by the way, that the sharecropper would be okay with that because the sharecropper doesn't even live in Yerushalayim. So he'd be okay with giving it to the owner. The Chachamim Omrim, no, the Chachamim disagree. Yochel hu akartani, lalos lachol Yerushalayim. No, we assume that was not the original deal because it's very easy for the sharecropper to take the Maaser Sheni of his produce and bring it to Yerushalayim. How do we know it's easy? Well, because the field that he's tending to is in Yerushalayim. So we know that he can do that. Granted, he doesn't live in Yerushalayim, but we know that he's willing to make the trek. We know that he goes to Yerushalayim quite often. So we cannot assume that the original deal was that the owner would get all the Maaser Sheni. We can assume that it would be just like a normal case in which the artist gets to separate the Maaser Sheni for himself and bring it to Yerushalayim, and the owner would keep his own Maaser Sheni and eat it in Yerushalayim. That is Mishnah Dalet, and now we're on to Mishnah Hay. Now, Mishnah Hay is going to be an exception to the rule that we learned at the beginning of last Mishnah, which is that if the owner of a field is a Kohen or a Levi, he's entitled to all of the Trumas or Maestros from that field. So here's the exception. Says Mishnah Hay, HaMekabel Zesim L'Shemen. Imagine there's a sharecropper whose job it was to take the Zesim, the olives that were already growing in that field and the trees in that field, and turn them into olive oil, which is a lot of tircha, which is a lot of work. Says the halacha, K'shem Shecholkin B'chulin Kach Chulkin Batruma. Just like you separate with the regular produce, like the artist, for example, would get, let's say, 70% and the owner would get 30%, so too you separate for Truma, meaning to say that the artist would take the 70%, be able to separate Trumas and Maestros and give them to whomever he wants. The same thing, the owner gets to take the tithes of his 30% and give it to whomever he wants. In this case, it's Kohen or Levi, who would give it to himself. But the owner of the field is not entitled, even if it's a Kohen or Levi, not entitled to the Truma and Maestro of the olive oil of the artist. Why should that be true? So a few different answers are offered, but one of the most straightforward is that olive oil was pretty chash. It was considered quite important and valuable, and so much tircha, so much work goes into developing it. So we assume that the sharecropper, even though maybe if in a normal case, when the owner was a Kohen or Levi, he would give in and just allow the the Kohen to or the Levi to take all the Trumas and Raisas for himself. In this case, he wouldn't do that because it's Chashuv. It's and there was a lot of effort that went into it. So we assume that the Aris went into it saying that no, I want the advantage of being able to separate Trumas and Raisas and give it to the Levi or the Kohen of my choosing. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Yisrael Shekivel Mikohen Levi Zaysin L'Shem L'Machzis Sachar. So he says in that case, either you're the sharecropper for a Kohen or a Levi, or you went into a business deal. You had an owner of the field who is a Kohen or a Levi, and he owns all these olive trees. And the guy says, listen, the Yisrael says, I'll sell them for you, and we'll split the profit. In either of those cases, the halacha is hamaisros labailim. The maestros go to the Bailam as well for the similar reason that we said previously, that we assume that if the owner is a Kohen or a Levi, they went into that partnership assuming that the owner would have access or be entitled to all of the Trumos and maestros. We actually paskin like the Chachamim, the first opinion there. And I think it's just a generally important thing to notice that in all of these cases we're talking about, the Mishnah doesn't say these words, but we're talking about something in halacha called an umdina, where you have to evaluate the das, evaluate the thought processes of all the players involved. So if we're not sure, if they weren't explicit about who's going to get the trumas and maestros, we have to make our best educated guess based on different factors, what's normally done, perhaps what the mindset of each player was, and that's difficult, but it plays a very important role in halacha. We have to evaluate the das, the mindset of the people involved. But obviously an easy way out of that, or having to do that, is for people to be explicit, to be very clear about what are the intentions going into that deal. And I think that's a good rule or lesson, really, in general, that when we go through things, yes, there are a lot of halachic mechanisms to help us figure out when we weren't clear, when we didn't have proper intention. But there's so much more clarity in our relationships, clarity in our mitzvos, when we say from the very beginning, I know why I'm doing this. This is important to me. I'm going to say it explicitly. And that not only adds meaning, but it adds clarity to the mitzvah itself and prevents us from having to get into the concept of an umdina, of constantly having to evaluate, well, what did I mean or what was I thinking, what was going on? If we live a life that is a little bit more intentional, a little bit more thoughtful, more reflective, more present, perhalf we don't get into some of these more difficult questions to begin with. Okay, that is Mishnah Hey. We will continue with Mishnah Vav tomorrow.